Leaders and healers, gamers and claimers, ladies and gentlemen from around the globe, from around the universe, from around the community, welcome to the Power, Purpose, and Passion podcast. I am your host, Anthony Cheam, speaker, life coach, author, musician, singer, songwriter, friend, podcast host, friend to you. Want to give you the best of what I've learned, earned, and returned in this great self-help world in the past 20 years of reading books, going to seminars, listening to podcasts, audios, whatever it took to become the best version of myself, I want to teach it to you so you can be the best possible version, consistently upgrading, advancing your life on a consistent basis, because you can live the most powerful, meaningful, purposeful, passionate life as humanly possible. So you can basically share your gifts, your talents, everything you've got and given on this planet, because that's the ultimate fulfillment. That's the ultimate success. It's not just what you achieve, but what you share, what you give, and giving of your heart, giving of your soul, giving of your spirit massively. So thank you for joining us. It's an absolute honor and privilege to be on the show with you and be able to serve you in this great technological savvy world, upgraded and advanced I am. I'm ready to give to you the best of what I've learned. All right. So it's been a whole entire summer and we haven't been consistent with the podcast. You know, I decided to take the summer off, plan and structure our time so that we can kind of plan for September after Labor Day weekend. And we have got a great show for you today and the coming weeks. We've planned a lot of great things, upgraded in our podcast, the content, the ways in which we give you the content and we share the content. So I'm excited for that. And for you that are joining us on you know, iTunes or YouTube or Facebook Live, wherever you are, thank you for joining us. And I can't say enough about what a blessing it is to be on the show with you. And today we've got a great show. And the topic today is how to create massive momentum in your life. Because, man, if you're stuck, if you are in the middle of a funk, or you've just lost your job, or you're moving from one stage of life to another, you're in one relationship and it's ended and you're wanting to start a new chapter, this is the show that you want to basically listen to on a consistent basis. Because as Tony Robbins says, repetition is the mother of all skill. You've got to keep on repeating it over and over, listening to it, reading it, you know, contemplating on it, whatever it takes to take your life to the next level. This particular show is about creating massive momentum in your life. And that's what it's all about, creating that massive momentum. You know, it's like that snowball going down a mountain. You start with a little snowball, and as it starts to move and move and move, it becomes so big and it moves so fast, it almost becomes unstoppable. So we want to help you do that. We want to help you create an unstoppable momentum in your life, whether it be career-based, family life, relationship, health, spiritual, whatever it might be. These principles and practices that we're going to cover today are going to be so much of value and benefit to your life. So thank you again. And today, I've got a special guest, first time ever on this podcast, other than just Cam and myself being on this podcast. I've got a special guest that's going to chime in and give us his greatest gifts and his wisdom and share about what it takes to create massive momentum in your life. It's a friend of mine, Alistair McBride from Ireland. Let me read you some of his credentials and what he's all about and what he's doing right now in his current life and in his career and his personal life, and he's doing amazing. So let me just read you a few things about him. He is a coach, facilitator, and a trainer, and has started numerous small businesses. He's a regular guest lecturer in cognitive behavioral coaching in the Masters in Coaching program at University College Cork in Ireland. He's also facilitated in post-grad courses in entrepreneurship and innovation in University College Dublin. He's a coach to executives and to business owners across an array of industries, including software, law, aviation, telecoms, corporate finance, to name a few. He believes clarity in thought leads to clarity in communication. Over the past few years, he's been giving his clients the psychological edge in negotiation and has a brand new program out called the Goliath Negotiation Method. He's an old friend. I met him in a coaching program called Strategic Intervention. He's a friend I've known for about 5 years now, and we were on consistent sort of mentorship calls, mastermind calls, and I learned a lot from him, not just as a friend, but as a coach and as a colleague. So thank you for joining us there, Alistair. How you doing, my friend? What's going on?
I'm doing great. All the better from hearing from you, sir. All the better. That was a hell of an introduction.
You're very welcome.
Bowled over by the energy over here. So.
Oh, that's great, man. Because that's what it's all about. The energy, right? Bringing the energy.
It always is for me, man. It always is.
It's
always
fantastic, man. Yeah, awesome. So what's going on? And what can you tell us about, you know, how to create massive momentum in your life?
Well, I mean, the very first thing, it's something we talked about many times. It's so important you have it in the name of the podcast, is purpose. Mm. Purpose is everything, I'm afraid. You know, once you're clear on the purpose, That's the energy. That's the energy behind everything else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when people talk about change, when people talk about getting momentum, when people talk about new habits or getting rid of old habits, all that sort of stuff, people often get into the tactical way too soon.
Mm.
They get right into the tactical thing. And that's great, but that doesn't work unless you have the fundamentals sound from the beginning.
Great. Awesome.
And I have to actually bring you in on this one, Anthony,
yes.
Because
yeah.
This may sound like a testimonial, and I suppose it is, but it's yes. absolutely relevant. When you invited me on here and I was thinking back on this, I was thinking actually you helping me back in the day, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, you helped me get clear, mindset, purpose, all of that stuff first, and helped me lose 10 kilograms, 22 mm-hmm. kilos in about 4 to 6 weeks.
Amazing.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, it was dead easy, which amazed me. Number two, I kept it off since.
love it.
So like I remember about a year, 2 years in, I realized it had been 2 years. So I'd beaten the stats. Like within I think it's 18 months, 97% put the weight back on and more.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they put the weight back on and more, and we're using this just as an example, is that the story hadn't shifted.
Ah, very good.
So people go on about, it takes 28 days to change a habit, or other people say it takes 3 months to change a habit and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, okay, so there's research and all that, and that's probably somewhat accurate. But what's more so important is, has the story changed? Has how you explain it to yourself, to the world, to everyone else, has that actually shifted? And what you did with me, when we were talking about health, this was the thing. You didn't go into tactics. You didn't go into like, oh, this is how far you're meant to run, or this is the weight you're meant to lift, or any of this stuff. That's all the tactical stuff. It is important.
Yeah.
But it's the next stage.
Yes.
Instead with all the mindset. Do you remember that?
I totally remember that, dude.
I'm sure you still do something similar with clients now, but it blew me away because I knew the stuff you were doing with me from a coaching perspective. That was cool. But then it was actually working. And I was like, whoa. Because forever I'd label myself, and be careful with the labels, I'd label myself, oh, I'm not a gym guy. I'm not really a gym guy, you know. And the next thing I knew, just from talking to you, like a week later, I was standing in the gym three days in that week. And I look in the mirror and go, holy crap, I might be a gym guy. Oh, my God. You know, this is the point.
Yeah.
The identity, the story had changed. And once the story has shifted, then a huge amount of things fall in alignment behind that. And that's the real power.
Yes.
And that's why you see people who... when you're using willpower as the main driver, you're in a very fragile state of change.
Yes.
Willpower should be used as a little booster, always.
Yes. But of course.
Change, get that purpose behind it, and then see where that's how you're explaining it. You have to change that. That's where lasting change comes in. So when we're talking about creating massive momentum, get clear on the purpose.
Yes.
Get to know the why. The why is the energy. It is the momentum. It's what keeps you going. You know, when things get tough, basically. As I said, the story has to then fall in with that purpose, going deep on that. That's how you create the momentum. More so, that's how you keep that momentum. Because there's nothing more demoralizing than getting a bit of momentum and then it falling away.
Yes.
And then you're back to square one. Getting a bit of momentum and then it falls away and you're back to square one. Because you just get into this cycle of being, it's like the old phrase, what is it? Cigarettes are easy to give up. I give them up all the time.
Very good. Excellent.
It's that kind of thing, isn't it? Where it's like, you do it and it drops. You do it and it drops.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I'd say to you. Purpose, know your purpose, know your why, and then dig into the story. Write it out. There's some great stuff. The Pennebaker exercises. Did we ever use those? I can't remember. It's a writing exercise.
Yes.
It's something I use with clients a lot. It's like, what does the story actually say? But the next thing I dive into is talking about credit.
Yeah.
Because you're a great man for the motivation and for getting it going.
Yeah.
The flip side of that, which is equally valuable, is actually giving yourself credit where credit is due.
Yes. Very good.
Awesome. Because people are making good progress. People are doing things. that are good steps along the way, that are starting to get into good habits. But unless they see that, those actions, as being part of that momentum, then you risk falling into only rewarding yourself when a big result happens. And you need to break it down into milestones. But into just, I remember this, actually going back to our original story, where we're doing the gym thing, you know, and I was a few months in, and it was going great. And I was getting really frustrated one day because, like, my numbers weren't any good. They'd gone to crap, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell's wrong with me? And I was getting all annoyed. And one other guy in the gym said, man, are you okay? I went frustrated. And I said, oh, my numbers are down. Everything's down. And he said, dude, you're here. I said, break.
Yeah.
I was just like, yes, thank you for the wake-up call. That's exactly what I'd say to my friends, to my clients. Yeah. So it is that thing about give yourself credit. It's not about giving yourself an easy ride. It's about noticing good work done and saying, you know what, that's actually pretty good. You know, it's like, you know, okay, he's controversial now, but like, as Woody Allen said, half the battle, half of success is turning up.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So turn up. If it's a gym, I keep using the gym analogy because it's maybe an easier analogy.
Yeah, right? yeah. What I also like about what you're saying there, just to kind of chime in, is the fact that we need multiple ways to measure our success, not just the scale. We need to measure our emotional state, how we're feeling, our energy, our self-esteem, our posture, our focus. Those are multiple ways. So as you said, if our weight's not down, we have other measuring sticks to say, I'm up here, I'm up there. My spiritual is better. My relationships are better. So we don't just need one measurement. So I just wanted to add that to you. So I absolutely agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the key thing is having whole scales of being able to win. So, you know, the classic one, again, going back to the exercise stuff, just because it's a lot of things fall as easier analogies and easier examples with exercise. But, you know, maybe you say, I need to go to the gym 3 times a week or 5 times a week or twice a week, whatever it is. But what if you're stopped doing that due to work or due to a loved one being ill or due to you being ill or whatever that might be? It's like most people then fall into that trap of, oh, I haven't been able to do exactly what I said I would. Therefore, I failed. And so they fall off the bandwagon, they fall off all that progress that they made and go, oh, it's all rude. It's the same as someone who's, say, they're trying to give them chocolate or something. I don't know. And then they have some chocolate. And they go, all is lost.
Yes.
But no,
yes.
It's not. It's,
yes.
You know, you're that piece of chocolate away, the other side of quitting it. So give yourself a break.
Yes. Amen.
So it is about that. It's about, so going back to the gym, you can't make it to the gym. What else can you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a kettlebell here. Yeah. Do a kettlebell routine. Super.
Yes.
What else can you do? Oh, I have a YouTube yoga training, whatever.
Yeah.
What else can you do? Even if it's a few squats and push-ups, again, that's the exercise equivalent. Yeah. What is that one? So whether you're winning 10 out of 10, 6 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 2 out of 10, 2 to 10 is better than 0 out of 10.
Yes, yes.
So if you do something,
yes,
then you're still on the road to winning, you know?
Yes.
You're still on the road to continuing that momentum. Now, it might be that 8 or 10 out of 10 that you're looking for, that, you know, that you get to have a huge high five to yourself.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, you're still moving in the right direction. You're still continuing the story that you are moving forward. Sometimes it's in a big leap. Sometimes it's a small step.
Yes.
And it's that real difference between, you know, the massive gains and the 1% rule. You know, is it James Clear was always talking about the 1%?
Yes.
Yep. 1% improvement every day. That's compound interest.
Yes.
I started calling the old compound interest.
You got it.
Remarkable thing.
Yeah, you got it. Yes, excellent, man. Excellent. Yeah. So you talked about purpose. You talk about, when it comes to purpose, change the story. And we've had this conversation before about the three S's, about state, strategy, and story. And those stories, man, about why things aren't working. I often say to people, you might have gotten a car accident, and it may have made you late for your work, But it's the story, and that may be a fact, but it's the story behind the facts that keeps you from moving forward. Story, story, story. Here's my, I'm going to inject my blood, my veins with this story about why my life's not. It might be an absolute fact that you were diagnosed with cancer, but it's the story behind the facts that you're okay, that's keeping you from maintaining that positive outlook, reframing your life and taking positive action and using cancer, not allowing cancer to use you. So story is huge. And you talked also about setting yourself up to win. One of the things I also talk about is this, is, you know, one of my favorite questions I ask clients, and I'm sure you can kind of add to this, is what would it look like to add that, to create that sort of catapult or that launching pad to create that momentum? I often say to people, look, what would it look like? How specifically would it look like if you achieve the ultimate goal you're after? What would that look like? Describe it for me. What would change? What 10 things in your life that would change for the positive if in fact you achieve this ultimate goal, right? And they start to chime. I feel better with myself. I would be able to have more confidence, do all these great things. I'd be able to go on that hike. I'd be able, just using health as an example, I'd be able to have the confidence to talk to the girl that I've always wanted to talk to, the boy I've always wanted to talk to. I would have the energy and vitality to double or triple my income at my business or whatever it might be. And then they get excited and attuned and associated to the outcome and the purpose itself of, from achieving that goal. What do you have to say about that?
Yes. In short, no, that's exactly it. It is absolutely. Well, you actually tapped into something else there as well, which was, and it's something you've mentioned, I know, on previous podcasts, which is that idea of the challenge, you know, being able to get that energy in. And it's one of those ideas that it's extremely important. Some people call it motivation.
Yeah.
But I think inspiration is probably better, but it's intrinsic motivation. It's basically, you know, motivation from inside.
Yes.
From internal sources rather than external rewards. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, money is great. Yeah, you know, looking good in the mirror is great. But what is it internally that's actually motivating you?
Yes.
And that's the key thing. Mm. It's the difference between internal motivation, which is intrinsic motivation, which we're talking about, or inspiration, versus ideas of external stuff, which is the carrot and the stick.
Yes.
Which in business terms is that idea of how do we motivate our workers? You know, do we threaten them by hitting them, or do we actually dangle something that they're meant to work toward? Whereas, you know, much more modern ideas are all about trying to get it from within.
That's far
more powerful. That's what lasts longer.
But
the other parallel with that is that when we're doing the internal stuff, when we're challenged, as you said, when we're actually feeling the challenge, feeling that energy in there, that's firing the dopamine, which, you know, most people know about these days. And one of the problems that I heard you mentioning in a previous podcast is when you feel like you've actually reached the goal. And that's where a huge momentum often dips away. And that's because the dopamine drops and the serotonin kicks in, which is like the chill out.
Yes.
The nice chill out buzz of the neurochemical. But the way we can get through that is by continually having that next, by that kind of, it's an ongoing, rather than a destination goal, it's a process goal.
Amen.
So it's almost a being goal rather than just getting to a destination.
You got it. You got it.
That's kind of the key thing. But when it's a real purpose, when it's intrinsic, that's far less likely to happen.
Yes, yes. You know, it's like what Tony said, Tony Robbins says. He says, when we fail, we tend to ponder. When we succeed, we tend to party. And that we fall into that trap, right? That when we're failing, oh my gosh, things aren't working. What do you have to say about that when people fail and they're feeling that frustration or that adversity they face, that internal adversity or the external adversity from an external opponent or an internal opponent? What is your advice to someone that's inevitably, it happens to us all, where we hit a brick wall and we're like, how do we get around this? I might as well just go back to the starting line where I was comfortable. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing that it responds is, what's the question you're asking yourself? So when you're in that situation, are you going, oh, I failed, I might as well go home? Or go back to the whatever's comfortable?
Yeah.
Or are you saying, okay, what have I learned? I don't mean that in a trite way. I mean, like, what have I gained?
Very good.
So look, it's kind of like going to the Olympics and getting a silver medal and going, oh, I failed. Yeah. Well, yeah, you can look at it like a failure. You know, you can look at it like you got a silver medal in the damn Olympics. What the hell, people?
Yes,
so when you see it like that, from an external way, from an objective point of view, it's course, you've done really well. You got a silver medal. What the hell?
Yeah.
You still go, you win and you learn, you know?
Yes.
But even when you win, you should still be going, well, hold on. And you notice this, again, in sports, we're using sports analogy, but same in business. The better sports coaches or managers and the better managers, leaders, go, okay, we won on this one, but what, where were we lucky?
Yes.
Versus where were we due to win? Due to our skill, due to our strategy, due to whatnot. And that's where they're always balancing up. It's a thing called, I think it's the resulting fallacy, or the resulting trap.
Yes, yes.
So it's that idea that, you know, you go, oh, we won, therefore we did everything right, versus we lost, therefore we did everything wrong, which is total nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great book by Annie Jukes called Thinking in Bets.
Oh, one of Annie Jukes,
great ideas in it. You probably know it.
Yes,
one of the great ideas in it is getting out of that ego state of, oh, I won, I lost, I'm great, I'm rubbish, or all lots of stuff. And it's more about accuracy.
Yes.
It's putting skin in the game and saying, well, if I have to, oh, I'm so certain about blah, 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 whether it's political opinion, it's a business idea, it's whatever. So how much would you bet?
Yes, yes.
And then you sort of have to go, ooh, because what it makes you do is search out counter evidence to your initial opinion to make sure you're fairly accurate. So it's accuracy you're looking for rather than being right or being wrong.
Fantastic. Excellent.
And that's kind of one of those ways where you can balance up, like, okay, I didn't win this one, but what have I learned? What can I use? What's actual value? And this is the key thing, because it's a great idea. It's there's a phenomenal book I read recently that could be very valuable to your listeners called Range by David Epstein.
Okay.
And it's all about that idea that we all think in terms of, you know, Tiger Woods, that you have to be going, you know, going super deep, and this is the one thing, and you're doing it since you're a toddler and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that works in some domains, like chess and golf and things where there's very limited, there's about pattern recognition and doing the same few things over and over again. But in every other human domain, the Roger Federer model works. I mean, Roger Federer, like one of the best tennis players that ever lived.
Yeah.
He didn't even go into tennis fully until he was like 17. He played like six sports.
Yeah.
He nearly played soccer for Switzerland. You know, as a, I think he was very competent at lots of sports. So then he went in, but that's what made him such a dynamic player. He also, goals-wise, didn't even have winning Wimbledon as his goal. His goal was to once play once in Wimbledon.
Isn't that amazing?
So the point was, as he improved, the goals improved along with it.
Stagger, yeah, you got it. Exactly.
Backing it up, right?
Yeah, backing it up.
He was having the love of it. This was the last thing, not last, but it's one of those key things is that purpose is absolutely key. Purpose is key, but it's actually what is one of the greatest motivators is play.
Amen. Yes.
Enjoy the minute to minute of what you're doing.
And
claim it in terms of
fantastic.
Then that's like a superpower, because if you have the two, if you have the purpose going in the background.
Oh, man.
And the play going minute to minute.
Unstoppable.
It compounds.
You know? 100%. I remember hearing John C. Maxwell talk about, you know, the two steps. And I tell this, and I remember this because I use it on my clients. I use it on this podcast all the time. He said, if you want to know what the two steps of success are, is find something you love to do that you gladly do it for free. Just do it because you just love it. Because you just love it. It just like stirs your soul. And then second step, get so good at that skill, people will gladly pay you for it. Right? And the reality is as you start to, as you add purpose to the mix and love and clarity and often a good strategy, let me tell you, it's unstoppable. In fact, you know, when you're losing, you learn more from your losses than you do your wins, right? And I remember even, you know, using sports again, is a guy named George St. Pierre. He's an MMA fighter, one of the greatest, you know, mixed martial arts in the world. I remember seeing him, what I learned from him so much, he was so cerebral in his strategic approach to all the fights he fought in, all the opponents, studied their weaknesses, all these things. But when, I remember him winning a fight in five rounds. He beat this guy handily, destroyed him, but he didn't tap him out. He didn't make him submit. And when they went back, the cameras went back to the locker room, what was he doing? He was rolling around with his coach. And he was asking coach, what did I do wrong? Even when he won, he was focusing on how to improve. Even though he's the best in the world, one of the greatest of all time, he's still practicing because I think, number one, he loves it. Number two, yeah, he has a great purpose for it. He has tremendous drive to become the best in the world. He's got a great strategy, of course. He's using, obviously, the tools of when he loses, he learns from it. And he did lose that one fight, and he ended up beating the guy again. He learned from that loss. And when he's winning, he's still winning. So he set up the game so he's winning. He's doing multiple ways to measure his success. When he's losing, he's winning. And he's winning, he's even winning even more. And he set up the game that way. And I think that's a great sort of matrix to follow in terms of when things get tough, you kind of have to back up and kind of re-examine where you are.
You absolutely do. And that's exactly the point that we were touching on earlier, which is, you know, setting it up so you've 9 ways to win and only one way to lose, or 99 ways to win and only one way to lose. And that is, it's getting clear on where's the only way I lose here. And usually that's down to something like, you know, breaking your own values or something along those lines, you know.
Sure.
That, you're focused and you're either making leaps ahead or small steps ahead.
Excellent. You know? That's awesome, man. So what's one thing that you tell a client, like for the people, my listeners out there, and let's say a client comes to you and says, hey, man, I'm just struggling with like, I don't know where I am. What's one strategy that you would tell them? This person, this business leader, this whoever you're working with, what's one thing that you would tell them, one question that you would ask them, one strategy, one principle you follow in helping them break through some of their limitations?
Well, if they're already stuck, then as I said, you go straight to the questions. What's going on with the self-talk in the head?
Yes. Very good.
So if you're stuck, it means that you're not seeing options. You're not seeing some of the choices available to you. So you immediately move that perspective to trying to see, well, what's the assumed state? So again, it's going into that story. As we talked about before, you know, state, is there state in an optimistic way? And you can change that by asking those little questions where it's like, what have you not considered? What have you tried but need to try again? All those sort of questions. You know, what have you learned from this before you got stuck? It's like, okay. So all of these ways to try and get them to start seeing their own options, and then lifting that, they'll lift their state, and then you can start working, as you say, with the story again.
Excellent.
How do you see it as something that you gain? What else can you do? What else? And it, through that, then they start getting momentum. The other thing I'd say, just in and it's a broader one, but it's related directly to this, is before, you know, if people are starting something, before I left them kind of out of the room, the coaching conversation, I usually get them to start analyzing or start picking out from their past experience or just from their own general knowledge of business or whatever it is, the challenge that they're up against, to identify their excuses, to identify their obstacles.
Oh, very good.
The external ones are easy. The external ones are, oh, you know, the weather might be, or the car might be broken, or I might be able to get to the gym because of this, that, and the other. It's like, okay, that's easy. That's great. You need to write them down and the workarounds. What else can you do? How else can you do it? Okay, great. But it's the internal ones. It's you know, that internal motivation.
Yes.
And we're also our greatest foe as well, you know. So it's huge to actually work out those excuses. Because we plan as Elon Musk or as Dr. Spock or whoever on the planet, someone really reliable is going to get stuff done, you know?
Yes.
But the person doing it is Homer Simpson half the time, you know? If they're in their Homer Simpsons, and that's who we're doing the battle with.
Yes.
Just wants to sit back after a hard day and have a beer or, you know, whatever it is. And it's getting that. You know, come on now, Homer, you can have the beer later, or you can have.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great way to look at it, because oftentimes what I'll do with clients is say, what are the potential obstacles that have stopped you and the opponents that have stopped you in the past that have stifled your progress. And then once they write it down and say, well, this emotional state, what's the emotion that goes along with that? A guilt or shame or fear or self-pity. And what we do then is we collapse that sort of emotional state by creating a more powerful state that so that they can anchor those powerful states, and then it collapses that self-pity. It doesn't mean they don't feel it. It just means that they know they have a powerful state or a powerful archetypal energy available to them to collapse the self-pity and actually move forward. And as you said, there's both internal opponents and obstacles and external opponents and obstacles. And it's good to kind of examine what's worked in the past and what has kind of not worked in the past, so we can actually create that strategic approach and go, all right, here's where I am. I'm stuck. Here's my pattern that I used to run. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's my strategy, and then deploy it without even hesitation. And that's a great strategy. So any last words there, Al, to our audiences here?
I mean, the bottom line is to actually, you know, you want to act as basically as your own best mate, as your own best pal. Where what I mean by that is that, well, if you know some of my friends, you know, they will give me a hard time, you know.
Yes,
they won't
yes.
let me off the hook. But at the same stage, you know, they'll also go, you know, give yourself a break, for God's sake. And then they'll yep. weigh it up in more balance than maybe I'd give. Most people, their hardest, harshest critic are themselves.
Yeah.
And take that and flip it objectively. If this was one of your closest friends,
love it.
Would you be saying that, or would you actually be going, "Hey, man, that's not right"? You know, seeing it in more objective perspective, that you want to push them when they need a push, but also say, you know, pat on the back when they're doing things well.
Yes, amen. I love that. Actually, you taught that to me, the difference between self-esteem and self-compassion. Self-compassion is a greater asset. Just have self-compassion is like your best friend who's there when things are down, they're cheering you on when things are up. Self-esteem is when things are going great, they're cheering you on. Things aren't so great, it's kind of frustrating, right? So have that, develop that self-compassion for yourself, develop that self-awareness. And I promise you, as Al said, you got to, this is one podcast, I promise, if you listen to it over and over again, I suggest listen to it like 20 times, like while you're working out. And so you could pull from this podcast probably about 100 nuggets, maybe just pull one or two, write it down, study it, highlight it, wake up every morning and read it, and then deploy it on a daily basis. I promise you're going to start creating that massive momentum that you so desire and you so deserve, and that's available in your life. So thank you for joining us, Al. It is an absolute pleasure and a privilege to have you on the show. And to our audiences, we're going to actually have Al on a consistent basis, providing some of his wisdom, his insights in business, in his own success, his own personal life, in psychology, and everything that he has had access to in studying his own world and his own life, to share with you alongside me and alongside Cam, that's in the background right now doing all this technological stuff. So we are a team here to support your growth, support your expansion. So thanks, Al, for joining us. Say bye to our audiences. Awesome. And you know what? To the audiences out there, if you want to listen to this podcast more, we're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Facebook, Instagram. You can download our podcast. You can even look at us up on YouTube. And for more information on Al, I'll just give you some of his information at www.almcbride, that's almcbride.com/mini course. In fact, he's basically providing something, I think it's a mini course, a cheat sheet. And if you want
email mini course, if you want the psychological edge and negotiation and persuasion, that kind of stuff, it could be very insightful for you.
Oh, extremely valuable. Like over the years, he's provided so much insight in helping some of my clients. Anytime I would get stuck, I would reach out to him with either personally stuck or with a client and bring some of the challenges I'm having with a particular client. He'd bring some extra insights into my world and just help me sort of break through that limitation. So thank you, Al. To your continued upgrade and evolution, my pleasure, Al. To your continued upgrade and evolution, live it up with power, purpose, and passion. God bless you guys.